Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Ben Olson, that's Nathan Fox. Together we're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. Today we have an email from Chris.
It opens, good morning, HMFICs.
Huh? I don't know what that means.
It's an initialism.
Okay.
You want to figure it out?
I quit.
It took me a minute.
HMFICs? I don't know.
Okay, I'll give you the IC.
Okay.
In charge.
It's in charge.
Yep.
So
the C's is not charges. The plural applies to an earlier word in the initialism. HMFICs.
Hey, motherfuckers in charge.
Very close.
Okay.
You just missed the first word. It's head. I'm pretty sure that stands for head motherfuckers in charge.
Oh, which You didn't Google this? Come on, Nathan.
No, I didn't Google it. Okay. I might have seen it before or heard people say that before.
Interesting.
Or even better, I just made it up because I liked it.
Yeah. They're like, no.
I'm like, oh my God, no. It was something serious. No. Hey, I don't know. Anyway, Chris says, are the headlines accurate? Are they ever? I read the 4-page recommendation from the ABA. I read it as saying that almost any qualifying test could be used as part of admissions, but the sensationalism made it sound like the ABA made a full-throated denunciation of the LSAT. This is true. So what Chris is talking about is this all, it made headlines last week, and y'all need to be better consumers of news, because it's like the headlines just did not match the facts, the underlying facts. And that's what Chris is saying here. The ABA, like a committee, some subcommittee of the ABA, we'll get into it more on the Thinking LSAT podcast, but some subcommittee of the ABA has made the recommendation that they study getting rid of the requirement that law schools use an admissions test. So law schools are not required to use the LSAT. Law schools are required to use an admissions test.
Yeah.
And they choose to use the LSAT. This is just removing that's a recommendation to remove the requirement that law schools use any admissions test. That's not the same thing as saying that they can't use the admissions test. It's removing the requirement that they use it.
Yes. And they're already allowed to use whatever test they want that's qualifying. And so far, that's the GRE and LSAT. And yet they predominantly favor the LSAT for very good reason. It's a test designed to test those skills.
Yeah.
And before we get to be used in law school,
let's just skip to the punchline here.
Yep.
Law schools weight LSAT between 2 and 10 times as heavily as they weight GPA.
Yep.
Go to LSAT.link/index. If you would like to see our math on this, we used the publicly available law school admissions index formulas.
Prove us wrong. Please.
Maybe we're wrong. Yeah. Email daily@lsatdemon.com. Our methodology is, we'd love to hear whether we're doing it right or doing it wrong. But as far as we know, law schools choose to weight LSAT between 2 and 10 times as heavily as they weight GPA when they do their law school admissions calculations. And the ABA does not require them to do that.
Nope. No, not at all. They don't say anything about that.
The ABA requires them to have a test be part of their admissions decision.
Yep.
They choose to make it the most important part of their admissions decision. That's all anybody needs to know about this whole story. I mean, for real, like, it's so dumb. It's one, breaking news. And it's like it's people who are just, it's clickbait. They're trying to get your attention. They're trying to sell you shit.
That's what they do. They're trying to buy your clicks.
Breaking news.
They don't actually care about conveying information.
They're going to. Yeah. And so this hysterically turns into, and I've seen some wild shit. I don't know if you looked at much emails or people, I don't go on social media, but people forwarded me stuff from social media where people are like, oh, thank God, oh, I can finally go to law school now. It's like, oh my God, you think this is going to change anything? It's not even happened yet because this is a recommendation.
It's a committee that the ABA that's considering this.
So the ABA is going to continue to study whether they should do this. And even if they did it, it still doesn't do anything because law schools are still going to be allowed to use the LSAT, which they consider to be the most valuable bit of data that they have about prospective applicants, prospective law students. They choose to weight it between 2 and 10 times as heavily as they weight GPA, which is their next best thing. So LSAT dwarfs everything else, and this does not change that in the slightest. Anyway, Chris continues, the Twitterverse was predictably bipolar. The left, I presume, online seems to believe the LSAT is no indicator whatsoever of competence or future success in law school. The right is certain that this move indicates another mortal wound for the profession and meritocracy in general. So, I mean, that seems like a pretty good assessment, actually, of what, you know, in the hyper-polarized world.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a liberal. I'm not a conservative. Yeah. I'm not blue team. I'm not red team. I'm a thinking person. Let's figure it out, y'all. Let's, like, deal with actual fucking facts.
Yeah, it's a problem. It's a bummer because it's like, what is it? It's the confirmation bias, right? You have a perception of how the world is. When something happens, you conform that. Actually, it's worse than the confirmation bias. Confirmation bias is you're looking for evidence to support your position. This is like you're looking at evidence and actually conjuring up what it means in a way that conforms to your beliefs. I mean, we all do it. I'm sure I do it every day from morning until night. But this is what's happening here.
Of course. We're not that smart, right? We're pattern seekers, and we have all these rubrics. We take shortcuts, cognitive shortcuts all the time.
Yeah.
And a bias toward preconceived ideas is one of those major, like, you wouldn't be able to live without it, but but it's important to try to notice it when you can, especially if you're trying to think through an issue like this.
Yeah.
Anyway, Chris says, you guys make a living as LSAT tutors, in case you were wondering what you did every day.
Oh, yeah.
So I imagine it could be hard to give an opinion that is fully free of bias. But what do you think? How could removing the LSAT or replacing it entirely? I'm not sure what this standard 503 revision is suggesting. How could removing it or replacing it benefit prospective students?
I think that, okay, when I think about the LSAT, it's not perfect, right? There is a 60 to 65% correlation between your LSAT score and your 1L grades. There's a correlation between your 1L grades and your overall grades. There's a correlation between your overall grades and your bar passage rate and your success as an attorney. But these correlations aren't perfect, obviously, right? There are people who do poorly on the LSAT, but then miraculously pull out great 1L grades. There are people who do great in law school or pass the bar, but then fail to perform in the profession. And there are those who struggle in law school, but kill it in the profession. When people see those discrepancies, I think that they want to get rid of this heavy reliance on the LSAT. The question is, what's the alternative? And so, it could benefit from some students who are outliers, but the problem is, how do you identify those people? And what about all the information you're now giving up? So, maybe there are some benefits, but it's really hard to see them.
Yeah, it's like capitalism is the worst except for all other systems.
Or sure.
Democracy is the worst except for all other systems.
Yeah.
The LSAT is the worst except for all other systems. I mean, like, it does a good job of predicting how successful you're going to be in law school. It's the best, single best predictor of how successful you're going to be at their school. What else should law school admissions be about if it's not, is this person going to be successful at my school? I mean, that's what they're trying to do.
And the rebuttal is going to be, oh, well, let's look at their undergraduate GPA. But as we just talked about on the last episode, I don't know if this is going to come out in order, but GPA does not do as good of a job of predicting your 1L grades as the LSAT. The LSAT's something like 5 times more predictive. So that's just based on data. So, okay.
for one of the reasons why GPA is not as good as LSAT is because some schools offer A pluses and other schools don't.
Yep.
If you're at a school that offers A pluses, that counts as a 4.33 on your LSAC calculated GPA.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't at your school.
Yeah.
If that plus appears on your transcript, LSAC goes, oh, nice, 4.33 for you.
Mm-hmm.
And if that plus is not available on your transcript, some schools don't even publish A pluses at all, right? So, yeah. Oh, sorry. No, the maximum grade for you is 4.0. That's one of the differences between grading scales from school to school, not to mention different majors, different universities entirely.
Different professors.
And it could have been 15 years ago.
Yep.
And you could have been 19 and dumb, or you could have been in high school getting college credits.
Taking a college class, yeah, and getting that on your transcript, and now it's affecting you 10 years later.
Right. 15 years ago, version of you who had no intention of going to law school, who just kind of skated through undergrad and, oh, no, you were on some other different path and you got bad grades. Well, oh, that's going to just anchor, you know, you're going to carry that around for the rest of your life. So Chris continues, after listening to you guys for over a year now, it seems to me that the LSAT, though potentially prohibitive to low-income students, I myself am a fee waiver recipient, is kind of the last safety valve protecting abysmal hopefuls from being preyed upon by law schools with shitty bar passage rates and worse employment prospects. So Chris is seeing the LSAT as a, I think he's wrong there, actually. He's seeing it as a, well, maybe he's right at the extreme bottom end of the scale. Like if the LSAT is actually keeping you out of law school.
Yeah.
Because there is a fee waiver. So like, it's not because you're too poor. You can always get the fee waiver. Like if you're legitimately poor, you get the fee waiver. You can take it twice for free. But if you score 128, 131 on those attempts, no law school is going to admit you. And I guess at that point, that is the last safety valve prohibiting, some schools are going to go, oh yeah, well, we just can't.
We can't, yeah.
And now if we get rid of the LSAT requirement entirely, some of the schools will be able to go, oh yeah, we could still admit that person. They will. They'll jump all over it.
Yeah.
They don't give a fuck. They want your money. They want they want to milk the student loan system. So the real bottom feeding law schools, you know, and there are hundreds of them. Those law schools, yeah, the LSAT should be protecting you from those schools and now won't, I guess, if this goes through. But other than that, I mean, I just don't think it's going to make any difference at the top schools, at the schools that matter. And I'm talking about like really the top 100 schools or something. I don't think this is going to affect the top 100 schools at all.
Yeah.
Hopefully that got some clarification for you, Chris, so the committee is just recommending removing the requirement that law schools use a test.
So they'd no longer be required to, but of course they could continue to and probably likely will, given how much they love it. And their love is not totally irrational. What's the alternative?
Right. It helps them predict whether you're going to be successful in law school. And U.S. News also cares about it, right? So is U.S. News going to stop looking at LSAT when they rank law schools? That would be something that would probably move the needle.
One thought experiment here is to put yourself in a law school's shoes or the U.S. News and World Report rankings shoes. Not that I care much about them or even law schools, but put yourself in their shoes, look at thousands of applicants and try to make decisions about who should be accepted based on what they say to you in their personal statement and their undergraduate GPA. Undergraduate GPAs are very narrow bands, right? It's not a 0 to 4.0 scale or even a 2 to 4.0 scale. It's a 3.7 to 3.9 scale. That's what you're looking at. Or even smaller, right?
At I don't the top even, schools, yeah.
Yeah. Or even in the middle schools, right? You're looking at a, you're still looking at a small range. You're looking at hundreds of applicants and you're trying to decide, should I accept them? And how do you compare these, really these apples to oranges? Because everybody's got different majors, but they sit down and they take a test. They have a limited amount of time. All the LSATs are very, very similar to each other. So comparing an LSAT score from one test to another is pretty easy to do. I'm not saying it's perfect. Yeah.
As a single numeric measure, I mean, like the law school, the fact that they have an index to begin with, I think is really telling. You know, And by the way, if you want to look at the background on our weightings, again, you can go to LSAT.link/index. But the fact that they do this at all indicates that they are looking for efficiency, right? They need a clean, efficient way of ranking applicants because we know how many applications they get. They get thousands of applications and they admit thousands of students every single year. It's a big business. They have to churn through a just mountain of applicants.
Yeah.
So how do you sort those applicants with any degree of efficiency?
Or confidence. I mean, even if you hired a horde of admissions people, how are these people going to be like, oh, well, I can tell based on this person's personal statement that they're going to do better. Really?
Yeah. They take your LSAT and your GPA. Those are two separate numbers. And rather than try to wrestle two separate numbers, they combine them into one number. That's what the index does.
Yeah.
So they take your LSAT and your GPA and they weight the two of them together, putting 10 times or two, anywhere between 2 and 10 times. Think about it as a recipe, Ben, like a soup. They're putting 2 to 10 times as much LSAT per GPA.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, 90% of the schools fall between 3 and 7 times.
Okay. 3 and 7 times.
That might be, you know, a more comfortable number, but still it's huge, right? Astronomical. Yeah.
To me, that doesn't seem like it makes that much of a difference, but it's,
I just don't want people to focus on the 10 and be like, oh, well, it's 10 times as much. Well, it's like, yeah, for a small number of schools, but the vast majority
is, I feel like this is interesting. Now we're talking, I mean, when you tell them 10, then they see an order of magnitude and they go, oh, wow. When you tell them 7, they don't see an order of magnitude, but it's closer to an order of magnitude than not.
Yeah.
Right. And so I feel like 10 is actually worth, I feel like I want to say 10.
Yeah.
And 2 to 10, I feel like is fair because Stanford's at 2, right?
Well, to be consistent with the data, we'd probably have to say 1 to 10, right? Because we're including everybody and there are a couple of schools below Stanford.
Is it actually 1? I thought it was like 1.7. But anyway, we can talk about, I mean, it's all public. So again, LSAT.link/index.
Yeah.
You can figure it out for yourself, but law schools are weighting the LSAT. Yeah. I mean, it's roughly, right? I mean, 2 to 10 is a shorthand. 3 to 7 is another shorthand. Either way, you know, we could boil it down even more and just say, hey, 5 times.
Yep. 5 right. times more. Mm-hmm. That's the average.
On average, if we're just kind of rough measure, they're putting 5 times as much LSAT as GPA.
Yep.
And they're doing that by choice because they think it helps them sort out who's going to be successful and who's not going to be successful. Now,
but that's
what you would have to do if you're a rational law school. I mean, unless you think all law schools are irrational, that's a possibility. It could be that they're all wrong.
Yeah. I mean, we all thought the world was flat for a time there.
Right. But anyway, Chris goes on and says, some conversations did mention apprenticeships, which I believe is kind of the original and classical mode of instruction for lawyers. But in practice, this seems far less egalitarian than what's in place now, which is already not that egalitarian. It's like trading one kind of privilege in gatekeeping with another kind of privilege in gatekeeping. I ain't no senator's son, no, nor a lawyer's. Could you wax philosophical on your perfect world scenario for legal instruction if you have a minute. Thanks again. And again, that's Chris. Thank you, Chris. It was a very thoughtful email.
The only thought I have on that is that the LSAT was introduced in an effort to actually address this problem of law schools basically being packed with people who came from Ivy League schools. No one else could get into law school. So they said, well, let's come up with a test so that we can find people from other institutions who might be qualified to go to law school. So it was an attempt to make things more egalitarian. It fails. It does not succeed. But I don't, that's the challenge. I think how do you do that?
In many cases, though.
Yeah.
Okay. So I hate to hold myself up as an example of like the LSAT being egalitarian, but hey, I'm the first in my family to go to college. Okay. I come from a poor background. I mean, my grandparents were agricultural laborers. My parents didn't go to college. I grew up middle class, small town, middle class, went off to college. That was the be all end all of my education. I had no idea that my undergrad grades would ever affect anything. I did not have any intention of going to law school. I didn't even know what law school was. I had no intention of going to any graduate school. I skated through undergrad, got shitty grades, 2.5 undergraduate GPA, graduated in 4 years though, got my degree. I thought that was the goal. Get your degree.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's like what I grew up with. Get the degree. I didn't know that like it mattered. I didn't know that there was more school after that. I hated school.
Yeah.
You know, I had no visions of going to graduate school ever beyond that. I was just, no, I'm going to college because I'm the one in my family who's going to college. And then after college, then I get a job. That's what I do. That's higher education.
Yeah.
From people with my background. Right. And I know that I have privilege compared to other people, but I have a lot less privilege than people who grew up around doctors and lawyers and, you know, like eight generations of their family with PhDs. So I didn't have any of that shit, but I could kill the LSAT. And because I could kill the LSAT, law schools were like, oh yeah, this dude could totally cut it here.
Yeah.
I mean, the only reason why I'm here, Ben, right now having this conversation with you is because the LSAT is in fact egalitarian to that extent. I didn't have a seat at this table.
Mm-hmm.
No one from my shitty little hometown has a seat at this table,
mm-hmm.
but the LSAT is what brought me here. This conversation doesn't even exist without that.
Yeah. It's just a test. It's a cold, mindless, let me ask you some questions and see how you do tests.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. The LSAT doesn't care who your parents are. Now, the LSAT does also discriminate against Black and brown people. Like Black and brown people score a couple points lower on average, even if you control for all other variables, and we don't know why.
Yeah.
So that's not fair.
Because what's weird about that too is the LSAC is trying to, they eliminate questions through the experimental section by looking for any questions that individually perform worse for different groups on the basis of race, gender, and some other groups. And even with them removing those supposedly biased questions, the overall scores are still lower. So it's a mystery.
But there are smart people working on that, trying to eliminate that bias to the extent they can. And law schools are well aware of it. And law schools do give a bit of a diversity bump in their admissions decisions. So they're trying to even that out a little bit. It's an imperfect measure. But, you know, it does, though, still take. It's not, I mean, and by the way, that what's the discrepancy? Like a couple points, right? So
I don't know, actually. I'm concerned it could be larger.
Okay. Well, okay.
Please email us if you know.
Email us if you know exactly the bump. We should probably educate ourselves and be like, or what that weird bias is. We should know what that is on average for sure. We're daily at LSATdemon.com. We're always trying to learn more about this issue, or all these issues. But anyway, it's not a crippling. I think people see it as it keeps people out. But I think they fail to see that it also opens doors for people.
Yeah, it's doing both. It is doing both.
Right.
And that's why people are upset with it. Again, we need a better alternative, and I don't know of one. And it's hard to move. It's hard to come up with something that's better than something that's cold and exacting.
Yeah, I mean, a perfect world scenario for legal instruction, I don't know. I mean, it's not what we currently have, that's for sure. It's not these giant law schools charging crazy money and not preparing people for the practice of law. That's not it.
Yeah.
But what is it? I don't know. And by the way, I'm not a lawyer. I never practiced law. So I don't know what it is. I just know that the current thing is kind of a show. It's like a kind of a competition. It's an academic competition to rank people for the law firms. You know, yeah. Ask the law firms what their perfect world scenario is for legal instruction. You know, what they want, I think what they want is super smart people who they know can jump through a lot of hoops and do a lot of hard work, because that's what they're going to make them do. I'm guessing that the firms are like, well, we're going to do the actual education.
Yeah.
We're going to teach you how to practice law. You went to a good school. That's great. Now come learn how to practice law.
Yeah. School really just becomes a proxy for success. What were your grades? Okay. You seem like you have what it takes to succeed.
Yeah. Fight your way up through the minor leagues. It's not legal practice. It's a pre-training program to see if you can actually compete in this arena. But we're not going to put you in the damn arena, like with real clients, with millions of dollars and people's lives on the line. We're not going to put you into any kind of real arena. We're going to put you in this show arena, fighting with wooden swords. And the people who make it through the wooden sword combat, now you get to come like fight with actual weapons.
Yeah.
At the firm. Anyway, boy, that was a lengthy episode of the Daily. Want to wrap it up?
Yeah. Anyways, email daily@lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.